Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. We're going to take you through the plan from the Seattle Police Department to help with the surge of shootings. Unfortunately, it's not going to do any good. We'll tell you why. Hunter Biden's in trouble. Uh-oh. Turns out when everyone was saying he broke the law and pointed to all the ways in which he broke the law, the FBI agents who've been investigating were all like, yeah, they're all right. He definitely clearly broke the law. Let's charge. We'll get into the politics of that. Plus, it has gotten so bad with fentanyl overdoses that now we're all being encouraged to carry and get trained on Narcan. It's like every other week they escalate the asks of the people who live in King County and Seattle. But the truth is, they would probably tell you the same thing in Pierce, Whatcom, Island, Snohomish counties. We're going to get into those stories and so much more this hour of the Jason Rand Show. Brought to you by The Brian Suits Morning Show, heard weekdays, 6 to 9 right here on KTTH. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
It's that time of year again. I will say, a little bit sooner than I thought we would cover these kinds of stories, but I'm starting to get a lot of folks sending me emails about the fact that their kids' schools all across Western Washington are canceling Halloween for woke reasons, all in the name of equity. Equity means liberals can never have fun. You see, they are miserable. And the only thing that brings them even just a little bit of joy is to make it so that you are miserable too, just like them. Always looking for reasons to complain. Always looking for reasons to play hero. And in this case, at a shoreline, we've got a principal who is trying to play hero, canceling Halloween yet again because it's exclusionary. After torturing kids with absurd and very much unscientific COVID protocols, like, and I saw this on their Twitter feed for Brookside Elementary in Shoreline. They posted a photo of kids eating lunch on the asphalt outside 6 feet apart. They just put them on, they didn't even give them a chair. Just sit on the ground and eat. Doesn't seem all that safe and healthy. But after doing that for 2 years, not even 2 years, because remember, they canceled school for a while. But after forcing kids to go through that, you would think that maybe they would allow them to have just a little bit of fun now that Halloween is here. No, 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 no. The principal, John Simard, he's all like, you do not have fun. He emailed parents explaining that while some children might be looking forward to Halloween because they're normal, we cannot allow any celebrations. Wokeness killed another holiday celebration where kids could have fun. And rather than celebrating this as an example of inclusivity, we should be condemning it. There are some students that do not celebrate Halloween. And if they don't celebrate, then no one can. That according to the principal. This is a direct quote from the email. Many see Halloween as a fun, candy-filled holiday. Yeah, everyone does. Most people do. Yeah, I guess there are a small group of people who don't. They enjoy the community-building benefits that a shared experience can bring. This may be true for you and your family. I can certainly say it is for mine. However, this is not the case for all. Halloween celebrations are exclusionary for students who come from certain cultural or religious backgrounds. Now, of course, he doesn't explain which cultural or religious backgrounds preclude the celebration of a secular holiday. This is not a religious holiday. This is just kids in costumes eating candy. I'm unaware of any cultural or religious background that would preclude anyone from being within 6 feet of people celebrating Halloween. Now, what he also doesn't explain is why, when I went on their website, I saw that they have Crazy Hat Day, where students wear crazy hats, kind of like their costumes. How that is permissible and not Halloween, doesn't explain. I asked. They did not respond to multiple requests for comment. He does not explain in this email how people are getting Thanksgiving week off, But not everyone celebrates Thanksgiving. If anything, that's an example of white supremacy. Just throwing that out there. Thanksgiving is white supremacy culture, right? That's what we were told. That's what we were told. The principal said in this email that he wants the school, quote, to be a place for all of our students and families. But you see, principal, by banning Halloween, you are expressly stating the school is not a place for students and families that celebrate that holiday. So when you tell me that this is a place for all students, you should say it's a place for all students unless you're a student or family that celebrates Halloween. Now, he says in this email that families in the past, some have opted out of celebrating Halloween in previous years. He complains in this email saying they shouldn't have to do that. They shouldn't have to opt out. That's wrong. Okay. It's odd because parents have to opt out of very much age inappropriate sex education. Weird how that works. They have to opt out of CRT in the classroom. So weird. But when it comes to Halloween, I guess that is one step too far for Principal Simard. Quote, as a public school, should we be hosting events during the instructional day that exclude students? No, we should not. We want this to be a place for all of our students and families. Again, just on that crazy hat day, that's celebrated on an instructional student day, a day where they're actually in the classroom. Just throwing that out there. They have sports day. You know what's wrong with sports day? Say it's an ableist holiday.
It's an ableist holiday.
Exactly.
I came up with that on my own.
Thank you for looking at it through the lens of wokeness. It's an ableist holiday. What about the kids who are disabled? What about them? They might feel left out. Now, again, I reached out to the school. I reached out to the principal. I reached out to the district. No one responds. They think that that's a smart move, but now I've decided to get vindictive. So every single time I request comment that someone doesn't respond to, I will then send a public disclosure request for all of their emails for the past week. I'm going to send the message that you can't really do this, and anything that you said internally about this, I will now find out. So you better not put anything in email, folks. And by the way, sorry, I'm putting you through the very tedious task of copying all the emails, putting it into a folder, and then sending it to me. But, yeah, I don't feel bad, actually. Not sorry. I got this from a parent who reached out to me. A parent who said, you will not believe this. And we couldn't get him on the phone because he was scared that the district would come after him or the school would go after him. But he said, birthdays are celebrated. There are cultural heritage months, Black Lives Matter curriculum, flags, pride celebration, along with all of the other religious holidays that are acknowledged. Why is Halloween canceled? The school also has other days where dressing up silly or in colors or in pajamas is encouraged. I see zero difference in letting kids dress up in costumes. Halloween is celebrated in many countries and throughout many cultures across the world. Why are the traditions of the majority being canceled by a few people protecting those that choose not to celebrate? Who is it hurting? And if they are hurting from kids dressing up in costumes, they have bigger issues to deal with personally. Who cares if you don't celebrate something? Let the ones that celebrate have a good time. No one's forcing them to participate. It's also okay to adopt new cultural celebrations and traditions of the country you live in, America. Why do liberals hate everything? Why do they always have to try to play hero? This isn't exclusionary. There isn't a single celebration, event, extracurricular activity. There isn't a single activity that a school can put out there that isn't technically exclusionary. They allow those activities. Not all students are capable of playing an instrument. Did you know that they have like a little band or an orchestra there? What about the kids who feel left out because they don't have a talented bone in their body when it comes to music? What about them? Seriously, what about them? I thought we didn't want to exclude anyone. Why does the school promote volleyball, soccer, hockey, golf? Why? Not everyone can play those sports. Not everyone is capable. Doesn't that exclude them? You can make a whole host of just silly arguments to claim anything is exclusionary. So why are they choosing to get rid of Halloween? It has something to do with the destructive movement called equity. equity brings nothing but anger and division. You have a whole bunch of left-wing educators, not just here in Washington, all across the country. They are moving to cancel Halloween because they believe some students can't afford nice costumes. Some students can't afford any at all. That's true. But I would suggest that rather than cancel the Halloween holiday and really kind of place the blame implicitly on the poor kids who can't afford a costume, why don't you maybe, I don't know, get a little bit creative around this situation, maybe raise funds or get donations for costumes, maybe have some sort of alternative programming for the day for kids who don't want to do Halloween. But heaven forbid we actually let kids have fun. Is fun now also a white supremacy characteristic? It's sad what they're doing. And like I said, I've been getting emails, and please keep them coming. If you've got a kid in a school that's canceled Halloween, just forward me those emails. You can do it at rants@ktth.com. Just send them all over, or rantsshow@ktth.com. Send them our way. We'll give it a look. We'll call it out. This is ludicrous. And I'm hoping you feel compelled to start pushing back against this garbage. Half of me wonders if a lot of this isn't just about the claim that kids can't afford it. How much do you want to bet that some of this is about cultural appropriation? They don't want some kid to show up in a politically incorrect costume that isn't actually politically incorrect unless you're a crazy person on the left. I guarantee you that's what it is. And I would suggest if you really want to open this up to be inclusive, you would allow them to come because maybe a boy will dress as a girl character. It's like Princess Leia, little Marky over there. You thought Mark was a punk kid. He came today as Princess Leia with the little buns in his head. How about that? That's inclusive. That's woke. Any thoughts there? You look like you're about to say something.
I don't know. I'm interested.
Or was that confusion I saw in your face?
A little bit of both. But have you not heard of people not wanting to celebrate Halloween for religious reasons?
Boring people who don't like to have fun. And
yeah,
how about this? You know what I don't celebrate? Christmas. You know what I don't do? Tell everyone to cancel Christmas celebrations.
I mean, that's reasonable.
Do you want to know why? Because as much as I'm a horrible person, I'm not that bad.
That's fair.
That's the thing. If you truly don't celebrate Halloween because you think it's the devil's work, or for whatever reason, then don't celebrate.
Yeah.
Seriously, don't celebrate. You don't have to celebrate anything. You can choose to do your own thing on that day. You don't have to do a darn thing. And by the way, that also means your kid can't have the candy. You can't have
it both
ways.
That's also true.
You're not going to have it both ways. Spit out that Snickers. Spit it out. Put it in my hand. Spit it out into my hand. Spit it out, Duncan. Thank you.
I just wonder if there's people that might be listening right now that are not, you know, on this woke ideology that might be anti-Halloween.
I bet you they don't want to cancel it for everybody.
And that very well could be true. But that's all I'm saying.
No one is forcing a kid to celebrate the same way we don't force anyone to celebrate any holiday. It is your choice. And I'm so sick and tired of a small group of people, whether it's on my side or not, dictating what's going to happen for the majority. You don't get to do that. Especially if it's coming from a place that's either rooted in bad faith or rooted in your illogic. If you are an illogical person, if you're being unreasonable, if you're being far, far, far to any extreme, you do not get to dictate what I do or what my kids might do. God forbid if I ever have any accidentally, I wouldn't know how I would have to trip at a very inopportune time. And the person, I mean, I don't even know how that would happen. I suppose it could be a result of a kidnapping. What? It could be a result of a kidnapping. Why are you laughing at that? It's possible.
Just the way you described that was comical.
Now, at the same time, I suppose here's an argument we can make, I suppose. Here's Jason glass half full rants. It is very expensive to celebrate Halloween right now. Very, very, very expensive. Thanks to Biden. Thanks to Patty Murray. Thanks to Kim Schreier, who's a doctor, by the way, and she's not just dressing as one for Halloween. Inflation is through the roof. You could not even afford the gas it's going to take to drive to the neighborhoods that give out the full-size candy. So maybe this is saving you some dollars. Because according to the National Retail Federation, consumers on average, and this is nationwide, will spend $100 on Halloween. And that means you're spending $100, but you're getting less for those $100 than you did in the past. There are kids who are starving right now whose only sustenance will be going door to door and getting your food, getting your candy. The cost of costumes up 10%. Pumpkins, 15%. Now, Janice owns a popular pumpkin patch in Woodinville. And she told us that inflation is impacting her business in a very significant way.
You know, gas is higher. Diesel is higher. The building materials, so any of our structures, you know, our decorations, that's all higher. And, you know, if we buy pumpkins, they cost more.
And they are doing things with pumpkins this year. I think this is the second year.
This is only our second year doing pumpkins, but definitely the traffic has been lower this year compared to last year.
It's lower because of what? Inflation. Because people are struggling a little bit more than they otherwise would be if we didn't have such a horrifically imbalanced economy thanks to really bad policies from the Democrats. And she's putting money into her business, and that's making things a little bit stressful for her.
I think the stressful part is that you're putting more money in to a business that you're not sure if you're going to have the community support. You know, you're not going to have people coming. And so you're investing more than you would have previous years and with fewer people coming.
And I feel bad for her. I really do. And there are a lot of people who are in that exact position right now. And so you're not able to spend as much as you otherwise would, or at least get back as much as you otherwise would on Halloween. You've got businesses that are tied to Halloween. We see those costume shops, those party shops that pop up in October. And they usually make all of their money during this month. And all of a sudden, you're not going to get as many people showing up. And that's before you factor in the supply chain issues that still very clearly exist, but no one wants to talk about, including Pete Buttigieg, who was here today to talk about a project that he has no connection whatsoever to. His staff just briefed him right before he spoke. And they said, say Tacoma a few times. You can't just say Seattle. And then they told him to say Puyallup. It did not go well because they just wrote everything down. They were like, yeah, mention this. It's Squim. Try to get Mayor Pete saying Squim.
Sequim.
It's Sequim.
Sequim.
Puyallup. Seattle. He got that last one. Okay, push the button.
What's trending in Seattle?
So in an ultimately meaningless gesture coming from the SPD, even though it's very clearly well-intentioned, they are putting emphasis patrols in the university district because of the series of shootings that we've been talking about this week on the show. You had that deadly hit and run on top of things.
We like to see security or police officer to help out and be here so we can go home and sleep and relax.
I don't know how much relaxing you truly should be doing right now. That's John Cahill. He owns a restaurant in the U District, and he told Cairo 7 TV that, look, things have been really, really stressful for him.
And you never know where the fight is going to be, and it's just really not right for us. I like to put some flowers outside. I like
Don't
to put some fancy things.
Don't do
but
it.
But I'm afraid to put them because the next day they're going to be gone.
You put a planter outside, all of a sudden it's getting used as a toilet. Ask your friends who owned restaurants in Lake City last year, because that's what ended up happening. Now, part of the reason why I say that this is a meaningless gesture, even though it's well-intentioned, there's no doubt. But number one, this does not mean what you think. And number two, it's not going to do any good in the short term nor the long term. It is not the fault of the Seattle Police Department. They are operating at below staffing levels on every single shift, in every single precinct, on every single day. Emphasis patrols can only happen if they're not already responding to priority one 911 calls. Priority one calls are the ones where you require an officer immediately. It is that kind of an emergency. Someone's life is on the line. And they're almost always responding to those kinds of calls. And so if they don't have the staff, they don't have the staff. They're not going to be able to do emphasis patrols unless perhaps they borrow some folks from other precincts, which can happen, but that doesn't seem wise. That doesn't seem wise because they've got their own problems in the other precincts. This is the North Precinct. So let's just say you move some of the emphasis patrols when you can to the University District. Awesome. What about the out-of-control crime in Ballard because of the homelessness? Or Aurora because of the homelessness and the drug addiction? What about them? What about them? They're doing their best. There's no doubt here, Sergeant John O'Neill.
Public safety is what we're really concerned about. And so when we do see something like this, it is our job and, you know, to get out there and address it.
Yeah, they just don't have the staff, unfortunately. Pioneer Square, did they get emphasis patrol? Oh, sorry. My bad. They already get emphasis patrols. And just last night, 11:30 p.m.-ish, two teens were shot. An 18-year-old was shot in the leg. A 13-year-old was shot in the leg. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the out-of-control drug dealing. I'm sure that those two teenagers were just coincidentally in the area at 11:30 at night. We have no suspect information whatsoever. Oh, and at the exact same time, we've got a potential arsonist out there. Here's SFD's David Cuerpo.
Most of these fires involved dumpsters or trash cans that were located outside of buildings, though one fire did involve a business on the 1000 block of South Jackson Street.
Yeah, that's called escalation. So, yeah, good luck with Seattle crime. Until we get more cops, until we get rid of some of these anti-police policies, this is just going to get worse. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. Every single Thursday, we post a new video brought to you by your local tax expert, Greg Nunn, and Nunn Better Tax Resolution. On today's video, we tackle the use of homophobia to excuse the failure of an LGBT comedy by Billy Eichner, The Insufferable. Check that out on our social media channels. We got it up at Twitter, at Facebook, facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am my own worst enemy. Thank you. That's the name of the song. Every Thursday, we post a video over on our social media channels brought to you by your local tax expert, Greg Nunn, and Nunn Better Tax Resolution. So if you head on over to my Twitter feed or my Facebook page, facebook.com/Jason Rants Show, you'll see not only last night's Fox News at Night hit, but you also see a brand new video we recorded in the KTTH video studio about Billy Eichner, a very, very annoying and untalented actor who is claiming his gay-themed rom-com didn't do well because of homophobia. Yeah, okay. I didn't see your dumb movie. I do hate myself, though it has nothing to do with being gay. It doesn't. I chose not to see that movie because he's not interesting to me. And he lacks a thing called talent. So I hope you'll check it out. Rather than address the addiction crisis that is very apparent in Seattle and King County, what are the public health officials doing? They continue to go down this path of harm reduction. They continue to adopt and implement a harm reduction policy, which causes more harm than not. So I wonder if we should start calling it the harm-inducing model, because it actually is dangerous. Rather than get people off of whatever drug they happen to be addicted to, we simply, quote-unquote, make it safer. And so instead of someone using a used needle, which obviously can spread disease, we give them clean needles. And when they're ready, they'll come and ask us for help to get clean. Except when you constantly make their addiction easier, when you take away all of the consequences, including putting them in jail, what ends up happening is they don't get to the point where they ask for help because you're constantly coddling them and you're pretending that you're not. You're pretending that this is compassion, but all you're doing is postponing the inevitable fatal overdose. That's all this model does. Instead of putting the resources into getting people treatment, what are they doing at the county level and the city level and, frankly, the state level? What are we seeing them do? They're buying all the Narcan that they can in order to give it to you, to give it to me, to give it to your family members so we all can intervene when someone is having a drug overdose, or at least we think they are. It sounds totally safe and hygienic, doesn't it, to just check on a passed out homeless addict on a street corner or on the bus? Yeah, that'll go well. Sir, I think you're having an overdose. Here, let me shove this Narcan mist up your nose. That sounds safe.
You never know when there's going to be an overdose. It makes me feel really good inside to know that if I did see somebody overdosing, I could help them. And I'm prepared.
I feel bad for Claudia, who has had to endure living with someone that she cares about deeply, her daughter, dealing with a drug addiction, and she thought she was going to lose her daughter to drug addiction.
The last time I picked her up for treatment and she walked out to the car, she looked like every addict on the street. And every addict that I see, I think they have a parent just like me.
They do, and those parents would never give someone a clean needle to continue to shoot up. They wouldn't give them the tin foil to smoke the fentanyl out of. That's not what they would do. What they would do is what this mother did, which was get their kid into treatment. Her kid went into treatment, and now she's clean for 6 months. So congratulations to Claudia's daughter. It's always going to be a struggle, always. But instead of enabling her kid, she got her child treatment, which is what any person would do, including the public health officials who are handing out the needles, if they found out one of their loved ones was dealing with an addiction. They would bend over backwards to make sure that that kid, that friend, that spouse, that aunt and uncle, whomever, actually got treatment. But we don't do that. Not in Seattle, not in King County. And increasingly, not in Pierce County, not in Snohomish County, not in Spokane County. Increasingly, we're going down this harm reduction model. Now, according to King 5, they say Seattle and King County Public Health agreed in a statement saying they want as many as people as possible trained with Narcan on hand. Huh. They want you to now be drug crisis intervention specialists. They want you to do the work that they caused. They caused the problem. They want you to fix it. They're continuing to cause these problems, and they are now asking you to volunteer your time and your safety to go around, walk around with Narcan on you so that you can give it to addicts who are overdosing. We told you last week about the Seattle Public Library program. They're rolling it out so employees can volunteer to get trained to administer Narcan if someone, usually a homeless person, is overdosing in their library or maybe around their library. And I looked up the numbers this morning. King County is actually pretty good in this case about updating data. Usually they're really, really slow. But this time they update their data pretty frequently when it comes to drug overdoses. The number right now is at 436. Last year, was it 381, 382? It's already 436 overdose deaths in the county. The quarter four, Q4, just started, right? What is it? 6 days ago, Q4 started. We've already seen four deaths. King 5 talked about this last night. That's where we heard that audio from the mother. They talked about this last night. Since then, three new overdose deaths have been reported. That's how bad the situation is. And they spoke with Rick Sheridan over at the public library system, and he says the plan will be ready in the next couple months.
This came about because a staff member expressed an interest in doing so to their supervisor, and so the library administration evaluated the idea and thought we could move forward with it. So at this point, we're working to secure the medication so we can position it in all facilities and also provide training to staff volunteers.
No one sees the issue here. No one thinks it's just a little weird that we spend all of our time talking about helping not prevent the overdose, but treat the overdose. No one finds that odd. Am I the only one? And seriously, it's not a rhetorical question. Am I the only one who finds it odd that the focus is on treating someone after they're overdosing rather than try to prevent them from overdosing to begin with? Why is it that when it comes to poverty and homelessness and whatnot, crime, the left will talk about, they won't actually do this, but they'll talk a lot about addressing the root causes. Why don't you want to address the root cause here? You don't hear that about drug use, do you? It's so odd to me that no one wants to say anything because you might be stigmatizing someone who's an addict. Oh, well, okay, I don't care. I remember I was on with Tucker Carlson early in my days with him, so like 2.5 years ago, and we had this very conversation, and he's the one who at first brought it up off of a comment about, you know, I think he asked me the question of why don't people say anything. And I said they don't want to judge a drug addict because they think it stigmatizes them. And he immediately responded, good, we should stigmatize them. He's 100% correct. We stigmatize the addiction, not a person who is a victim of addiction, but the addiction itself should be stigmatized. We want you to feel bad about being an addict if that means you're going to get help. And over again, all of the coddling, all of the enabling, it leads to death. And you know what? The situation is getting worse. This crisis is going in the wrong direction. There's a story out of New York where the federal government just snagged 15,000 rainbow-colored fentanyl in a Lego box. It was part of a smuggling operation, allegedly. The DEA said this is the largest seizure in the state's history. We had, in Oregon, the largest, what was it, 10,000, I think, in Oregon's history? The largest seizure there? New York City's special narcotics prosecutor, Bridget Brennan, said in a press release, according to CNN, using happy colors to make a deadly drug seem fun and harmless is a new low, even for the Mexican cartels. Is it a new low for the Mexican cartels? Really? They'll kill a child just to get the drug into this country to kill children. It's not a new low. This is what we expect of a evil group of degenerates when we allow them to get away with it. And the fact of the matter is, what are we doing? We're allowing cartels to bring drugs across our open border that the Biden administration is pretending is closed. Are you really telling me that you are shocked by this? Your state, your Democrat Party is enabling this. This is not a shock. Fentanyl in New York is involved in more than 80% of the overdose deaths. And rather than try to go after the drug dealers, rather than leverage jail time against an addict to turn on their drug dealers, we've just decriminalized drugs because we wouldn't want to stigmatize anyone. We wouldn't want to stigmatize anyone. We wouldn't want to actually close our border because that might actually acknowledge that the Biden administration is incompetent. It is remarkable how we just totally ignore the actual problem here. And again, we put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs sutures. Oh, wow, you've got Narcan. You're so, so heroic. You're stopping all these deaths. I'd rather put someone in treatment than put some Narcan mist up their nose. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. The KTTH Freedom Series tickets for next Wednesday are sold out. However, I found one extra pair, and this is the last pair that we have to give away. We'll be giving it away in the next segment on The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Thursday afternoon. Really do appreciate it. I am very, very pumped for the Freedom Series next Wednesday in Renton at the Carco Theater. Tickets are sold out, which is very unfortunate. Now, yesterday after the show, I did find out that there were two extras that we did not account for. And I was thinking about putting them on sale, but then I felt bad about it because I gave a previous pair of tickets to Max's parents who were really pumped, but then I took it back to give them away to Elizabeth, I think. Yeah. So I did find two extra tickets after that. So that's good.
They'll be excited.
Yeah, right? I mean, you told them.
Yeah.
And they were excited.
Very.
And are you certain they were really excited, or do you think that they were kind of faking it to, you know, make you feel good? They were really excited?
They were really excited.
You sure?
No. Yes.
Okay. I need you to let them know that I'm taking them back again. And I apologize. It's not my fault.
They may or may not be gutted.
Well, again, I don't care about your parents. I've never met them. I do care about my listeners. And so in the next 5 minutes or so, I'm going to give away another pair of tickets, our final pair of tickets to give away to the Freedom Series. So only enter the contest when we call for it if you can actually go on Wednesday, because I don't want to give away a pair of tickets to someone who's not going to actually use them. So literally, we are completely sold out, with the exception of these two tickets that I thought we would give away to my audience for the people who, you know, just either forgot to buy tickets or maybe they were a little bit too costly for them. We'll give them to you this segment. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the wonderful world of politics, where Fox News has a new poll that's out. It shows Tiffany Smiley behind by about 9 points. But Patty Murray is acting like she's really, really close. So I'm wondering how accurate that poll is or how many people it was able to connect with here in Washington State. We do know that, yet again, all of the indication suggests that the momentum is headed back in the direction of Republicans, because the issues that people actually care about bode well for Republicans. We are trusted more on these issues, specifically the economy and inflation. John King of CNN broke down one of their recent polls.
So what is driving this midterm climate? Well, in a midterm campaign, a president's first midterm campaign, his approval rating is generally the North Star, and President Biden is underwater in both of these states. 41% in Arizona, 41% in Nevada approve of Joe Biden's performance. But look, nearly 6 in 10 likely voters in each of these states disapproves of the president's performance. Another warning sign for Democrats as we get into the final month, just look at this. What is the top issue among likely voters, those likely to turn out 33 days from now? The economy and inflation, overwhelmingly, 39% of Arizona voters say it's number one. 44% of voters in Nevada say the economy and inflation number one, dwarfing abortion or voting rights, dwarfing abortion and voting rights, perhaps issues that would play in the Democrats' favors. This is a troubling sign for Democrats heading into the final month.
Now, why they're focusing in particular in that clip on those two states, Arizona and Nevada, those would be pickups for the Republicans, and things are looking really, really good. Really, really good. Unless, of course, you're Liz Cheney, who doesn't like Republicans winning in state elections when they hold views that she disagrees with. But, of course, she's going to tell us how this is a threat to democracy.
I'm not ready to say we're going to allow Trump and those who are at war with democracy to hijack our party.
We're at war with democracy. I don't know anyone who thinks that. What are you talking about?
Not ready to give that fight up. I think that the party.
Hey, by the way, you don't have to be ready to give that fight up, but the voters said, we're ready for you to give up. Can you please go away and shut up? They said it in a slightly more aggressive way than I just did.
He is in a very bad state. It's increasingly challenging. But I believe in a Republican Party that stands for the ideals that we've been talking about. And I think that individually, Republicans need to be engaged in battling for precinct, chairman and chairwoman seats.
Okay, Liz, thank you. She's especially concerned with Arizona, so much so she would vote for a Democrat.
I say this as somebody who, my first vote I ever cast, I was 18 years old and I voted for Ronald Reagan. So for almost 40 years now, I've been voting Republican. I don't know that I have ever voted for a Democrat. But if I lived in Arizona now, I absolutely would. And for governor and for secretary of state. And I think, we cannot be in a position where we elect people who will not fundamentally uphold the sanctity of elections. And I think that's got to be, more important than anything else.
We're just all grateful that Stacey Abrams is not running in Arizona, because then Liz Cheney might not be able to vote at all. What's so fun about watching things unfold is the very transparent framing of this election and what's on the line and what the implications are, what it all means, blah, 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 blah. And CNN, as I was leaving the studio last night from my Fox News at Night hit, which is available on our social media channels, I was walking home and I saw a tweet from CNN and it said, Senator Mike Lee stepped in line behind Donald Trump. Evan McMullen crossed it. The Utah Senate race will determine which of those decisions proved to be the wiser course for a conservative seeking elected office. Except that's disingenuous framing, because number one, Evan McMullen is not a conservative. Number two, literally every single poll that has come out has Mike Lee up. They want Mike Lee, who's very conservative, to lose very, very badly. And part of the reason why they're backing someone like Evan McMullen is because he goes on CNN and he says things like this.
Our democracy is at great risk right now. And we will decide as a nation over the next two cycles, this cycle and the next, whether we still are a democracy or whether we're going to head down a road towards authoritarianism.
If you don't vote the way he wants you to, democracy is done and we now have authoritarianism. However, if you do exactly what he says, it's no longer an authoritarian threat. We're now back to democracy. Kind of seems like that's a little backwards, just a little bit, just a tiny bit. By the way, I went back and I checked the numbers. Donald Trump won overwhelmingly. It was almost 60 to 40% in Utah. And the only reason you got almost 40% for Biden, not because of Democrats, was because they didn't like Trump. It had nothing to do with whether or not Mike Lee backs Trump. They're not voting for Trump. They're voting for Senator. Mike Lee's going to win. Stop with this Evan McMullen garbage. Caller number 7 to 1-800-465-8770. We'll win a pair of tickets to the Freedom Series next Wednesday, where we've got a lot of surprises in store. I'm very, very excited about the speakers, about the panels, about what I have planned. 1-800-465-8770. Caller number 7 wins a pair of tickets to the Wednesday event, 7 p.m. in Renton. If you can't go, if you're even kind of wondering whether or not you can make it, skip the contest. I only have 2 tickets left. I want to give them to someone who absolutely 100% can go. Caller number 7 wins a pair of tickets. 1-800-465-8770. Look at the calls coming in. Good luck. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. When we come back, gas prices through the roof. Is there any end in sight? No, there isn't. I'll tell you why.